And what is the observation? The observation is that adversity is going to come your way. It's not that, well, you know, you might face adversity, or there's a chance that you can tiptoe through the tulips all this life and not have to deal with adversity. The writer of the Proverbs is also putting it in a way that you will, at some point in time, you will face adversity, and you can't escape it.
Greetings, radio friends. Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of It's Showtime. We've been offering a booklet on the Antichrist, and we want to get this into your hands. We answer some of the major questions that people have about the Antichrist, and also we deal with that controversial and interesting topic of who is the beast, the mark of the beast, 666, all those things we deal with in this booklet. So contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, and we will get a copy to you. No charge for the booklet. Join us today for the conclusion of It's Showtime.
Just keeps on shining. That when you are going through adversity and the critics and the scoffers bark at you and they try to talk you out of your trust in God, you just keep on shining. You just keep on shining. Be unaffected by those who are trying to cut at you and dig at you because you're trusting God. When it's showtime, don't let the hecklers move you off of what God is calling you to do. I like what it says in the pulpit commentary about Psalm 24:10. So I copied this. It's a lot of reading, but I'm going to read it because it blessed my heart, and I hope that it blesses somebody else's heart. But this is the pulpit commentary on Proverbs 24 and verse 10. And it says this: strength is wanted for the day of adversity. This will be a time of assault, strain, and pressure. The soul will then be besieged. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody now. The soul will be besieged, buffeted, and in danger of being crushed. Therefore, there is need of sufficient strength, not only for the prosperous times, but for this harder occasion. The lighthouse must not only be strong enough to stand in calm weather, it should be able to resist the battering rams of the tempest. The ship must be built for the storm. The army that can look smart in a review is useless if it goes to pieces on the battlefield. The modern navy is an extravagant ornament if it is not served us in action. The lamp is useless if it goes out. Woo! The lamp. How many people have ever had the electricity go out in your house and you wouldn't got your flashlight? What you say? And it didn't work. I got kids and I got grandkids, right? And they love flashlights. And they love making shows and puppet shows and all this stuff and having the spotlight on the puppets. But one of the things they forget to do, what? Is to flick it back off. So there's been times when I went to two or three flashlights. Am I preaching? I went to two or three flashlights. And they was all, the battery was dead. The battery was dead. What good is it if the battery is dead when the electricity goes off? And that's what he's saying here. The lamp is useless if it goes out in the hour of darkness. Religion is for the time of trial and temptation. The spiritual life needs to be strong enough to hold on through terror, temptation, trouble, or it is a delusion. It is a delusion. That your spirituality is worth nothing if it can't take you through adversity. If it can't take you through adversity, it's worth nothing. So when we think about Showtime, there are movie credits, right? Movie credits, all right, that come on to tell us about this film. So whenever you go through adversity, there's some credits about Showtime that you need to remember. And the first credit is this. Is that this movie in your life is being produced by God. Now, it may come at the hand of Satan, but remember Job. Satan could not do anything to Job that God didn't let happen. And Satan, your enemy, cannot do anything to you that God doesn't let happen. Let me ask you a question. What trial and tribulation are you going through now? God? You think God doesn't know about it? You think it took God by surprise? Oh, no. Look, let's look at Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. His wife said in verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. And Job said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. That whatever you are going through, whatever trial, whatever adversity that you are going through is produced by God. Like I said, it could be coming directly from hell. It could be come directly from Satan. But nothing is going to touch your life that God doesn't want to touch. And so the first thing, whenever I go through adversity, I have to realize that God is allowing this to happen. And he's producing this for a reason. And that reason, you know the sad thing about Job is that, you know, we have the advantage because we can read the book of Job and we see all the stuff that's going on. We read chapter 1. So we know everything that was going on. But Job, he couldn't go to Job chapter 1 and read, right? He couldn't turn to Job chapter 1. Job was in it. And if somebody just said, he was living chapter 1, right? He was living chapter 1. But yet and still, God was behind this, orchestrating this situation. So not only is the movie produced by God, but it is, praise God. It is directed by the Holy Spirit, right? It is directed by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. That when you get in adversity, man, the first thing you need to do is fall upon the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, please, Spirit, guide me through this situation. Give me wisdom. Lord, every turn, every step, I might not know which way to go. I might not know what to say. I might not know what to think. But Holy Spirit, please guide me through this situation. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Guide me by your powerful hand. That when I hit adversity, the Holy Spirit is the director. That he says, cut. That he says, take. That he says, lights, camera, action. I'm led and guided by the Holy Spirit. that as I go through this trial, and you know, wow, I just thought about this. You know, I wasn't even going to refer to this. But in Galatians 5, there's a contrast of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And it says that the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That there's a director. There's a good director in your adversity, and there's an evil director in your adversity. Which director are you going to listen to as you go through the adversity? Are you going to listen to the director who leads and guides and directs perfectly every time? Or are you going to listen to the director that is a deceiver? Jeremiah said the heart is wicked and desperately wicked among all things. Who can know it? That when we try to trust in the arm of the flesh, it will fail us every time. That when you go through your circumstances leaning on the flesh, it's going to let you down. But when you go through adversity directed by the Holy Spirit, he will guide you every step of the way. Like I said, I don't know what you call that thing that they snap down, lights, camera, action, right? Cut, right? Man, that's the Holy Spirit. He said, okay, it's all right to go. And then you start walking down, snap! The Holy Spirit stops you. And he guides you in the way that you're supposed to go. The main actor of this show, when you get in adversity, the main actor is Jesus Christ. No, it's not you. You're going to say, well, it's me. I'm the one that's going through it. You know, it's just like the dad who told his son, right? He said, son, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And the little boy said, yeah, Dad, but not in the same place. So, so you know, when you get out there, you know, you might feel like you're the one going through it, right? But look what, we all know this verse. We don't have to even look at it. It says, let your light so shine. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. A light that's hidden on a hill, set on a hill cannot be hid. That you don't light your lamp and put it under a bushel. So therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That who should be shining through you? That when you go through adversity, who should be seen? Jesus Christ. That people ought to look at you and say, there's something different about them. You know, they're not handling this situation the way that other people handle it. You know, they're not joining in with the others. They're handling this situation in a way that Jesus Christ is seeing, that Christ is shining through. He's the main actor. Who's the supporting actor? Galatians 2:20, brokenness. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who is the supporting actor? That I'm the supporting actor, but see, I can't be the supporting actor in God's production unless what? Unless I'm broken. Unless I'm broken. If I'm not broken going through this situation, that I'm producing a movie that's worthless, right? If I'm not broken going through this situation, that there may come times when my will is to buck up and to strike out. And brokenness says, calm it down. Bring it under control. You know, as I've said from this pulpit many times, Jesus was meek. And what does meekness mean? Power under control. That's what meekness means. Power under control. A horse that's not broken is just wild and just causes stampedes and destruction. But a horse that's broken can pull wagons, can pull all type of other things attached to it that's broken. And so if I'm going to have a successful production, I've got to be broken. And as I'm broken, God is the producer. The Holy Spirit is the director. The main actor is Jesus Christ. The supporting actor is me, but not me in an unbroken state that I have to be broken. And then we see before showtime comes, there's the rehearsal. And what does rehearsal mean? A session of exercise, drill, or practice, usually private, in preparation for a public performance or ceremony. So rehearsal. Let me show you what rehearsal is that prepares you for showtime. The rehearsal. There's a script. What is the script? What is the script that we go by? What is the script that we go by? Right? It's not a magazine. It's not a book. What is the script that we go by? The script that we go by is the Word of God. And so, as you read, wow, as you read the script, you are getting ready for showtime. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. Watch this, that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly instructed unto all good works. That's the script, baby, right? That's the script. And how do you read the script? You read the script by having devotions. That as you have devotion, I'm not trying to put prayer aside because, you know, I think that's very important. But, you know, we want to stick with the metaphor, right? We're trying to stick with the metaphor. And I'm sure there's some way we can work prayer in there too. But devotions, sermons, Bible study, that's the script right there that all of us ought to have a daily time where we are in the Word of God. Whether you read our daily bread or devotions by Chuck Swindoll or David Jeremiah or Tony Evans, you know, that there ought to be, or if you have your own, you know, going through the Bible program, that there ought to be that time when we are into the Word of God. Sermons, that's why it's important to come to church, right? Because you hear the Word of God. You know, I've had many things that as I've studied and as I've read, that I would have never known unless I went and sat under somebody else. And that's why, again, I'm going to say this, that you need to sit under good teaching and preaching. You know, you just can't sit under anybody that's going to feed you some crumbs, that you need to sit under good. So, you know, you need to sit under good teaching and preaching, right? Where somebody is studying the Word of God, and where they are exegeting the Word of God, and they are expounding the Word of God. Yes. Because that, you know, that's your soul. Amen. You know, that's food for your soul. Amen. You know, when people join Bethany Baptist Church, I take that very seriously. Because, you know, in my mind, what that person is saying is that I've taken my soul and I've placed it under the care of this church. And that even as you come today, by nature of the fact that you're sitting there today, this is what you're saying. You're taking your soul. I'm saying this figuratively, not literally. Figuratively. That what you're doing is you're taking your soul and you're putting it on a plate and you are saying, feed. Feed. And if you have done that, the man or woman of God who is expounding the Word of God, man, they need to come right. They need to come exegeting that Word, studying that Word, praying over that Word, because that's your daily food. Bible study. To be in a Bible study where your soul is being fed and you are gaining knowledge about the Word of God so that you can apply it to your life. That's the script. That's the script. So when adversity comes, that you already got the script. You don't have to go looking for the script. You already got the script. And then the rehearsal. Let's look at this.
and then I'm going to be finished. Let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And look what it says here, perfecting. This word perfecting actually means to rehearse or practice. To rehearse or to practice. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The rehearsal is that, now I know that we might not do this, so I'm just throwing this out as a suggestion. You don't have to do it. Just throw it out, and I'm just throwing it out as a suggestion. Just say, for instance, you're dealing with people on your job, right? And you know that you got knuckleheads on your job, right? You know that you know that you got people there that can set you off quicker than quicker. You are, in your mind, practice. You say, here's how I'm going to deal with this situation. If this person zigs, I'm going to zag. If they zag, I'm going to zig. You know, that as a child of God, I've already thought through, again, how can I let the light of Christ shine through me and deal with this situation in a godly way. So maybe you need to run through that in your mind. Maybe you deal with people in your family, right? You got Labor Day today, right? Maybe some of y'all going to a cookout. You want to run into family now. See, you already need to be practicing in your mind. Well, you know what? This is how I'm going to deal with this situation, right? Because you know what? In about 2 hours, it's going to be showtime. It's going to be showtime, right? And I got to think through how I'm going to respond to this situation. So in rehearsal, you've got the script and you've got the rehearsal. Go even think through in your mind. How can I be whole? Yeah, that's what he said. Let's read that again. Read it again. He says, therefore, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So you got to rehearse. You got to practice. And this leads us to the conclusion. What review will you receive from God when you go through that adversity? When it comes for showtime. James said in chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love. And so when temptation comes, when adversity comes, it says that the person who endures shall be blessed. Shall be blessed. And guess what? God does this. God does this. Oh, you might have had some struggles. You might have had some negative thoughts going through your mind. All that. But in the end, when showtime came, the movie was good. God gives you the thumbs up.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of Two Characters, Two Conducts, Two Conclusions. That's Two Characters, Two Conducts, and Two Conclusions. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, It's Showtime, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request It's Showtime. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request It's Showtime. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings we have available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website at anchoredinjesus.org or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, we would like to remind you that you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.